I want to look at basically four different passages or three different passages and look at what does it mean for God to be the Lord of life? What does all this mean? The first one is Genesis 1. Chapter 31, and this is when God created the world. And it says in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And so here God is creating life, and he says, and it is good. And he created a beautiful creation. Now, in the New Testament, turn over to Colossians. Chapter 3. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 17. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so there's again the reference to the creation, and that Jesus was part of creation, that Jesus is the creator God. And it says here that not only did he create everything, but in him all things hold together. The third is 1 Corinthians, so just back a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, 20 through 26. And this talks about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 26. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each to his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when his hands when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. And we'll stop there. So this talks about how he reigns, he has risen, and now he has defeated and is defeating death. And he's the first one to do it, but we all will, in order, until death has been finally and completely defeated. Now, just in the same chapter, turn ahead a little bit to verse 53 through 58, as Paul continues this idea of Jesus defeating death. For this perishable, meaning our bodies, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And this is such an incredible and important passage, especially on Easter, but every day of the year. Because it talks about the future hope. Jesus is the past hope in that he has risen from the dead, but his work isn't over. And oftentimes people say, well, if Jesus has conquered death, then why are we still dying? And why are we sick? And why are we right now hanging out in our homes because there's this virus stalking us? Well, because his work isn't done yet. He's not finished. His work to redeem us is finished. But the last enemy is not defeated yet because we are still in mortal flesh. We are still perishable. And so the work hasn't been finished yet, but it will be. And verse 54, when the perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it comes about. Death's victory is finally and completely destroyed. And verse 56 gives us an important clue that we need to understand, and we're not going to cover it today, but we're going to cover it next week. So there's your teaser to come back next week. Because, well, if creation was good, and God is good, and God, well, how did it get so messed up? Did God, you know, miss a day? Did he take a day off work and everything went to pieces? Verse 56 explains the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And next week we're going to talk about that's how everything got messed up. And it wasn't God, it was us. And so next week we'll talk more about how come it's this bad. And so if you're like, I don't understand, if God is good and God's so powerful and God's the Lord of life, then why are we even in this pickle? Well, come back next week. But the point today is that he has defeated death and he will defeat death. Because in him all of creation holds together because he is the creator. And he sustains it even now. So let's apply this, what we've just read. We don't like to think about it a lot, and when we are faced with times like this, but other times, I mean, coronavirus isn't the first thing that's ever hit us. I mean, people get the flu and die from the flu, people get cancer, people get car accidents. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And so death is always a part of our existence. We may try to pretend that it's not until suddenly it comes crashing in. But death is the way of this world. You know, they say what the kind of joke is, the death rate is 100%. None of us are getting out of this alive as far as death is a reality. And just growing older, you begin to sense that, you know, things don't work as well as they used to. And then we get sick. And it's not just physical death, but, you know, when relationships decay and when marriages struggle and when friendships get hurt, we experience this death. Now, this talked about, the passages we saw in Scripture today talked about that Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life, that he did good, and that he came to defeat death and to proclaim his mastery over death. But, and this is the big question, although he came to do this, although he came to declare his mastery, you have a choice whether to accept or reject that mastery. And we sometimes leave that part out, that you have a choice whether to come in under him. He does not force you to accept his mastery. He invites you to, he begs you to, but he has given us the power to say no. But there are real-world consequences to that choice. Because God, as the creator and sustainer of the universe, he's the designer. And when you move away from the designer's plan, whether you're talking about how you use your car, your computer, your body, The more you move away from the designer's plan, the more you're going to end up with problems. The more you're going to end up with what we would call a negative outcome. And when people and our world move away from the creator and sustainer, when they move away from the one that says, in him all things hold together, well, if you move away from the one who is holding things together, you are more likely to come apart. Simple, right? And the further away you get, the more you're going to experience coming apart. And if you look at our world today and you look at what's going on, not just in the United States, but around the world, if you look at our politics, if you look at our how the nations take care of their own people, how they interact, what goes on in our politics around the world, from dictatorships to democracies, when you look at all the things that happen, even just the fact that when all of a sudden, because of the actions of some, suddenly it's harder to even get what you need at the store because some just grab everything. In all these cases, the more we get away from the creator-sustainer, the more things fall apart. Until we even notice that our society is falling apart and people are falling apart. And as, you know, bad things happen, it sometimes causes us to start to fall apart. Because we don't know how to cope. And anxiety and fear and anger become more and more. And if you've ever been there, you know that anxiety, fear, anger, all are things that begin to pull apart, pull you apart. Suddenly you're not functioning well. And some people who even say a lot of good God things and they talk about God and, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, the Christians are just as bad. Yes. Because just because you call yourself a Christian, just because you go to church, does not mean that you have necessarily submitted to the Creator. It just may mean that you like church or that you like religion, and so you've done that sort of thing. But you're still trying to hold yourself together. And so even people who talk about God. So here's the question for you. How about you? Our current events, because these are extraordinary times, are current events causing you distress? And are you struggling to hold it together? The last 48 hours, I've watched people who I know and love get pretty close to a breaking point. Because it wasn't just that, okay, we're into our third week at least of quarantine, but then the power's out, maybe the internet's out. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be frustrating. It is frustrating. I've been frustrated. And I'll tell you, I have moments when I start to fall apart a little. And you know what those moments coincide with? The fact that I am not focusing on my maker and creator. I am focusing on me. And I step away from him a step. And I begin to fall apart. But maybe you're more than a step away. And so maybe you're falling apart a good deal more. And you're struggling, just hold it together. And if one more thing happens, you'll lose it. We are not talking about a magic pill or a magic wand that suddenly makes it all better. This is not about that it makes things all better. Nothing we read here said that he just now, all of a sudden, I accepted Jesus and now my life is beautiful. No. Nothing we read talked about that. In fact, it looks forward to the time when that work is finished. But Jesus was very, very, very clear that in the interim, here, things would be rough. And when Jesus was here, things were rough for him. And if you want to see someone struggling to keep it together, look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was tortured and killed. Here's a man who is trying to keep himself together by what? Talking to God. And that's how he holds it together. And you'll notice that when the guards show up to arrest him, he's calm and at peace. And as he goes through the sham trial, and as he's accused of things, and as he's nailed to the cross and suffers, he's still forgiving the people doing it to him. He hasn't fallen apart. Because even though the circumstances are extraordinarily bad, he's with the Father, and he's holding together. So what about you? This isn't going to make you suddenly not have hard times. It's not going to mean that you do not stay up all night crying in your personal Garden of Gethsemane. It means that when the chips are down, you don't have to fall apart. Because you are connected to the Master that holds all things together. He made you. He created you. He designed you. He loves you. He died for you. He beat death on your behalf. And he now seeks to sustain you. He offers you life in a world of death at his expense. You don't have to do any great grand thing to get him to give this to you, because he's already done the big great grand thing himself and has offered it to you for free if you'll just accept it. Because he loves you that much. Why? Because you're his creation. You're his child. And you in this world will never fully fathom, and I will never fully fathom, how deep and how blazing hot that love for you is. But you can get a picture of it in looking at him dying on the cross for you. And then what can hold you together, what holds me together, as I worry about getting the virus myself and I worry about my loved ones, is the resurrection. Death will be defeated. It doesn't mean I won't face it in my flesh, but my flesh is not the end of the story. And this mortal flesh will put on immortality. And that helps me get through my day. What about you? Times like these, I think God allows them to remind us not to put our confidence in our ability to hold it all together. And a lot of us really try to do it ourselves. We try to keep it going. And on good days, you can get away with it. But you cannot defeat death. But your maker, your creator, and your sustainer has. And he offers you to come in under him, and he will hold you together. It won't be easy, but he'll do it. All you have to do is ask. Let's pray.